Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, a great service department and sales staff that's ready to help you with whatever you need, whether it's a state inspection, you're looking to buy a pre-owned or a new car, any of that, they got you covered at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Lot to go on for today. Got a loaded show, a lot of college hoops talk coming our way. John Crispin from ESPN will join us at 3:35. Then we've got Ken Pomeroy at 4:35 today, and Tyler Donahue from Lions 24/7 will join us at 4:06 today, as it is National Signing Day once again, and a lot of big names coming through for this year's class for Penn State, including the man, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, I'm going to let Steve do that, from Graham Washington at offensive line. That's a good pickup for Penn State, of course. And then you have Tyrese Mills, another Lackawanna College product coming your way at defensive back. So those are a couple of the names that kind of headline this class. And, of course, a happy birthday to James Franklin. As he talked to the media today, we'll play some of that for you if and when we get the chance, as he talked on his birthday. So a good day for Penn State football. Again, terrific class overall, and looks like it's going to be the same way, at least at the start of things for 2023, as we talked about before. And we'll get more into that with Tyler Donahue at 4:06 today. And then also today, you had the... Before I get to the Washington Commanders, you know, Steve mentioned yesterday briefly that Jim Harbaugh is going to meet with the Vikings, is supposed to interview with the Vikings today, of course, on National Signing Day. How dumb can you be? Seriously. There was a Michigan reporter, I think, that was on with Dan Patrick here on WKOK yesterday, and mentioned that, and he's right, he had every opportunity to strike this down, but clearly he's going for it because A, it's been made public, but B, you're doing the actual interview on signing day. I mean, how crazy is that? I've never trusted the man. And, I mean, he finally got his win against Ohio State this year. Of course, he won the Big Ten title, get into the college football playoff, all that. He finally did that. He finally kind of proved himself. But then he goes off and he does this. I don't get him. I really don't. And I'm sure there's a lot of frustrated Michigan fans out there, and deservedly so. I just don't get that one at all. But we'll see how that plays out there for Michigan. Now to the Washington Commanders, who were formerly, of course, the Washington football team. They introduced their new name and look today. And I kind of like the new look. I think the Commanders, when you say Washington Commanders, you're like, ah, that kind of sounds weird because you're used to them being the Redskins at the time. So a lot of people wanted them, a lot of fans wanted them to stay with Red something, where it was Red Tails or whatever that was up for debate at the time when they're choosing the new name. But I think you have to look at the whole look here. I think when you look at the new patch they have, and you look at the uniforms, I kind of like the look. I do. But the biggest complaint of Washington fans is, you know, you lose the HTTR thing, the Hail to the Redskins thing that they had for such a long time. But maybe you could have kept that had you kept, like, Red Tails or Red Wolves or whatever. And I get that. If I were a fan, I probably would be upset about that, too. But looking from 30,000 feet in the air, I'm actually okay with what they have. I like the burgundy look. I do agree the white uniforms look a little weird, kind of like the Cardinals uniforms or the Falcons. The black uniforms look sharp overall. The W in the center of the helmet's kind of weird. But overall, I think the Washington football franchise had a good day today. I think the video was cool. The message they're trying to send out from that and kind of moving on from a dark last couple of years off the field. So I think they're moving in the right direction finally. Now, there's still a lot of baggage. You know, you have old team employees that's going to be, I think, today on Capitol Hill testifying on the workplace environment from when that Washington Post report came out several months ago. And they have the new hashtag now, Take Command. So I think it kind of works. But again, I'm not a Washington football fan. Maybe, I'm sure there'll be some difference of opinions there. And if you want to voice it, call us and let us know. And of course, National Signing Day and all those sorts of things. We'd love to hear from you as well. 1-800-795-9565.
What's your problem here?
No problem today.
No. I thought there'd be 1,000 things you'd be. I mean, Groundhog saw a shadow, because, I mean, you don't know it's letter of intent day to you. It's it's Groundhog Day.
Well, I didn't like the result of Groundhog Day, but I don't know.
That was an incredible golden moment on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yeah, I deserve that one.
So we're talking about Harbaugh yesterday. And Harbaugh is interviewing for the Vikings today.
And he's a very stupid person.
Okay. where do you come up with this stuff? How do you...
I'll explain in a sec, but go ahead.
So, I said, think about the timing of this thing. I said, we all know what tomorrow is. And so I pause for a moment, and he jumps in and goes, yeah, Groundhog Day. I go, I said, I think I got to get out of this show. It's letter of intent day.
I thought you had some quick remark for him to
no.
Okay. Never mind. I overthought that. See, I'm not good with critical thinking, okay? I struggled in critical thinking in school, and I guess I still do now.
What are you talking about? When it comes to critical thinking, you're critical all the time. All right, what are you talking about, critical thinking? It's all your thinking is critical. Hey, my mom said, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. Oh, my goodness. All right, so... So Harbaugh is interviewing today with the Vikings. All right. And now, of course, we have this Brian Flores suit. You know, it's really interesting. In the NFL, look at the longevity of Sean Payton. What has contributed to the longevity of Sean Payton as a head coach?
Winning.
Yeah, but what was the constant in the winning? Okay, I'll do this myself. he had Drew Brees.
Ah, well, yes.
Follow me here. Okay? Mike Tomlin, who at this hour is the only black head coach in the NFL. What's been the constant in his winning?
Big Ben.
Belichick.
Brady.
Okay. Hey, now the lack of longevity. So let's get to the lack of longevity. Hey, the lack of longevity. Vance Joseph, Denver. No quarterback. All right. Hugh Jackson with the Browns and the Bengals. No quarterback. So now let's go to Brian Flores down in Miami. Hey, at Miami, Dan Marino strongly recommended to the brass, geez, guys, you really need to draft Justin Herbert. And they drafted Tua instead. They had the wrong quarterback. Right? And this is all the way through. Steve Wilks. 1 year, unfair, head coach, Arizona Cardinals. They get rid of him. 1 year. They bring in Kingsbury. Oh, and by the way, they drafted Kyler Murray. Okay, what's made Pete Carroll so successful in Seattle? Russell Wilson. The quarterback is so important in this league, you can't even begin to put a price on what the quarterback means. You can't. There is such a correlation between the success and the quarterback. And that's, you know, for example, you and I were both in complete agreement. Brian Flores is, of all the ones that have happened, you and I looked at each other and said, why was Brian Flores fired? We couldn't believe it that he got fired. Couldn't believe it. Now, I realize that, you know, they won 10 games last year and were that rare 10-win team that doesn't make the playoffs. Rare. He did a heck of a job. This year they started out 1-7, brought him back. But again, I mean, to me, he's still there, possibly, because you don't know what Stephen Ross is like, but he might still be there if Justin Herbert's his quarterback. I mean, we've talked about Brandon Staley on the show a few times. I mean, Brandon Staley is standing there like, and the multitude of mistakes he makes are made up for by the fact he's got that kid at quarterback. Andy Reid. He had Donovan McNabb for 10 years. He's got Patrick Mahomes now. He's got it made. LaFleur, he's fine in Green Bay until Rodgers leaves. Right? I mean, think about it. Hey, now, are there... If I'm sitting there and I'm interviewing, this is from 30,000 feet because obviously I don't know the people personally, but Kellen Moore, hot name, offensive coordinator Dallas comes in, and Byron Leftwich. Which one am I hiring? Byron Leftwich. Like, it's not even close. Eric Bieniemy and Kellen Moore. Really? I'm not hiring Kellen Moore. I think Dallas has talent, and I think he hasn't done a great job with it. And he's got a good, not great quarterback. He does have a good quarterback. Not a great quarterback, a good quarterback in Dak Prescott. That's going to be Nick Sirianni's issue moving forward. How good is Jalen Hurts? Because he is now tied to what Jalen Hurts does. Nick Sirianni's longevity as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles is directly tied to Jalen Hurts. It's just that's just the way it is in the NFL. Kevin Stefanski is going to be defined by how Baker Mayfield plays. I mean, suddenly out of nowhere, Zach Taylor is a genius? Or did he go from 2-15 to the Super Bowl because they drafted Joe Burrow? Tell me I'm wrong. You're paid to tell me right.
No, you are definitely right.
I mean, but that, I mean, okay, John Harbaugh, right, who's done a great job. But getting Lamar Jackson after he had Flacco, totally different style, but Lamar Jackson has kept John Harbaugh's career alive in the league. And John Harbaugh is a heck of a coach, but having Lamar Jackson has kept his career alive in Baltimore. Hey, Raheem Morris is the head coach of Tampa Bay. His quarterback was Freeman. Are you kidding me? How are you going to have success with that? You can't. Oh, and by the way, Bruce Arians, genius among all geniuses, is 7-9 his first year. Oh, with Jameis Winston and not Tom Brady. It's amazing what that position means and to the longevity of the coach. Now, as for Brian Flores, I'll quickly say this. None of us on the face of the earth want to be interviewed for something where we know we're wasting our time and we're just being brought in to be brought in. And I think that's how he felt in Denver in 2019. I think that's how he felt with the Giants this time around. That they were trying to fulfill the Rooney Rule, and that's the only reason he was there. And nobody wants to feel that way. But he also shouldn't have been fired, in my opinion, from 30,000 feet from Miami. I thought he was getting the job done there, despite the fact that they drafted the wrong quarterback. Marcus Freeman, the head coach at Notre Dame. James Franklin made some really good points about this today at his press conference. Really good points. I mean, James knows what kind of fight it is in this profession and the odds he's had to overcome. Marcus Freeman's the new head coach at Notre Dame. So I'm going to go right to your wheelhouse. Okay. It was the idea of making you happy today. Because you could go off the rails in a second. It's also trying to make Mertzi happy too by talking Notre Dame football. Right?
That's right.
Yeah. Because I already brought up Matt Nagy and, you know, the old Bears coach that put her in a bad mood.
Yeah, that's a sour note.
Yeah. But he made an interesting point today. He said, you got to work and fight your way through in this profession. He said, one of the things I think you need to do along the way is somewhere get yourself into a winning organization and a winning situation. And he's right about that. Because they're always going to go after, hey, they're successful. I've got to get that guy from that organization. So look at, for example, Steve Sarkisian's the head coach of Texas, out of Alabama. Kirby Smart, Georgia, out of Alabama. Jeremy Pruitt, who flamed out of Tennessee. You know, it's amazing when they stuff money into McDonald's bags, it doesn't last long. But he was from Alabama. Charles Huff, the head coach at Marshall, was at Penn State, Alabama, head coach. Josh Gattis, Penn State, Alabama, OC at Michigan. Brian Flores did that, by the way. He did that. He came out of Boston College. Bill Belichick saw something in him, put him into the player personnel department, told him he wanted to coach, so he got him into the coaching part of it, special teams, then eventually the defensive coordinator. Brian Flores did that job. He worked hard. He earned his spot. And was with a winning organization, and that opened the door for him to get the Dolphins head coaching job. But that's always going to be important. Getting yourself, and Freeman, Marcus Freeman said, he said, you know, I was at Cincinnati and we started to play well. He said, and I stayed there. He says, because it was a winning situation, and I felt winning situations would open the door for me. And then it opened the door for me to go to Notre Dame, as a defensive coordinator. And then when Brian Kelly left, it opened the door for me to get the head coaching job. All right, just some general comments. We got a lot going on today. John Crispin today, Tyler Donahue today, Ken Pomeroy today, and I guess a mystery guest in the studio.
Correct. Yeah, we'll mix that in a little bit. I'll let you know.
Well, you don't let me know about any of this stuff. That's why they're mystery guests.
I'll cue you when we got it ready. It'll be within the next hour. How about that?
You know, all of us at some point in our lives need a reason to live. I now have mine. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Q, it's 11 and 15 Humbles Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Tyler Donahue in a moment. John Crispin. Ken Pomeroy later, and a mystery guest that is going to show up whenever the mystery guest wants. It's all part of Matt's master plan. Yeah, you have a game tonight, right?
I do.
There you go.
I got Bucknell Women in Boston U tonight in a big one.
There you go. All right. Should be great. Vega Ione, on 3.com, four-star lineman who originally committed to Washington is coming here. And this is considered to be the number 26 interior offensive line in the lineman and the number 9 player overall in the state of Washington. How about that? And then Tyrese Mills from Lackawanna comes in as well. Defensive back. All right. So two signed today. So let's talk to Tyler Donahue, 247 Sports. Sir, it's always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You had an exciting one last night. Nice to be on with you today.
It was. Games are exciting. Recruiting can bring with it some drama. Any drama on letter of intent day that you're looking for?
Yeah, well, I mean, this was everything 5-6 years ago and all the years before that. I wouldn't be sleeping much the past few days ahead of this kind of an event, but now it's a lot of leftovers. There's still some big fish out there, but not really in Penn State's realm right now. They got their big fish in December. A couple names to know here: Tyrese Mills, a Lackawanna College safety who was slated to sign in December. I caught up with him on signing day and was dealing with some academic things that need to be tidy up for him to sign with Penn State. Our understanding, our reporting at Lions 24/7, is that he will sign with Penn State tomorrow. James Franklin obviously having a press conference at 11:30. If it happens, it would happen in the morning. Mills, of course, will be the latest safety to come from Lackawanna, following Jaquan Brisker and Jair Brown, and the heck of a standard that those two have set. And then there's an offensive lineman who popped up late here in the 2022 cycle. It's a position, an area, a room, whatever you want to say, that needs to be addressed in a big way. You need to see improvements there for this year and building towards the long term.
Visited over the weekend.
Yes, and a couple commitments in the 2023 and 2024 cycle on the offensive line. And then in the 2022 cycle, Washington State offensive lineman Vega Ione made his final official visit before his decision, which is going to come tomorrow morning, I think around 11:30 Eastern time. Washington is looking to keep him in the home state. The Huskies just underwent a coaching staff change. So, you know, that kind of created a need for them to reset things with him. Penn State swooped in, got the late visit. Phil Troutwine spent some time. He had a cross-country visit out there, met with the family. So this is a program at Penn State, a very small recruiting class on the offensive line last year, maybe not as big as they were hoping for right now. So I think we're looking at those two names, Mills, Ione tomorrow, and then we're still keeping tabs on the transfer portal, of course, for roster building.
Yeah, what now? Let me ask you about that from the professional point of view. You know, there's a way to cover, you know, recruiting and verbal commitments and then letter of intent day. And there was always that cycle, as you talked about. Like, okay, Thursday after, it's like, okay, we'll write the postmortem stories, rest that weekend, and then move forward afterward. What has the portal done for your job and how you have to cover it?
Yeah, I think that it has basically, I mean, the signing day here in February was already, you know, quite put on the back burner after the December signing period. But I think the transfer portal, there's more of a precedence on trying to figure out a way to use your roster numbers towards immediate impact help, I think, especially once you get through that December signing period where most teams like Penn State, the bulk of your prospects, you're not really expecting them to contribute in big ways for another 2 years. So the expectation is with a transfer portal player like a Mitchell Tinsley they brought in at wide receiver is a guy who's going to at least, you know, contribute in your two deep, if not come in and win a starting job. And we saw that play out last year. And so I think the thing that gets a little dicey is when you don't seize on the first wave, it's kind of a cycle thing. There's that first wave right after the season, around the bowls, players jump in, a bunch of big names find homes. Caleb Williams, of course, committing to USC today. That was really the biggest name out there right now. And now I think you're saying, okay, well, who can you get on campus to help you in May? Because you've already kind of passed that threshold where guys going to be part of the process for winter workouts and spring ball. And they had that last year with Arnold Ebiketie and Derek Tangelo, and a few of those guys were there in January. Don't have that this year except for one wide receiver. So the tricky part is now it's not just addressing your roster, but you've really got to find the right fit, and you can't really afford to miss on bringing in, you know, 22, 23-year-old down to one more year, 2 years of eligibility. If you're bringing them in May, you're bringing them in with the mindset that they have the goods to come in and win a starting job. And I think that the name to know there is Hunter Norzad. You know, we've seen this play out before. An Ivy League offensive lineman draws interest from Penn State. Eric Wilson ended up being the starting left guard for the Nittany Lions last year. Hunter Norzad, I'm sure if he were to pick Penn State, we'd have to throw his hat in the ring as a potential starter on the offensive line. You know, we're looking at it as a guard prospect here. And he's coming down to the wire. He's been to campus, and I think, you know, we'll continue to monitor. There's been a couple new offers, North Texas twins, a couple of edge rusher linebacker types got offers from Penn State a few days ago. But those are the two areas I think you're looking at: the edge, on defense, maybe linebacker as well, and then offensive line. I think you've got to at least bring in one guy like a Norzad who has starting experience and to kind of stabilize things a bit up front as you try to get these competitions underway, finding your best five.
All right. The early signing period has been in place for 5 years. There's more murmurs about, you know, that they need to change it. If they were to change it, as somebody who covers this recruiting cycle all the time, what do you prefer? Do you prefer the signing date where it is now in December and then in February? Do you should it be just the February date, or should the early signing date be earlier?
Well, I think it gets really tricky because we're always talking about how with the early signing period, it has basically become a collision course annually with the coaching carousel, and that's leading to earlier coaching decisions. I'm not convinced, though, that if we're trying to look out for the best interest of the high school going to college athlete here, that, you know, setting up an early signing period up before the season is good in theory. But there's going to be a lot that happens between then and January enrollment in terms of coaching changes. I think by the time you get to mid-December, a lot of the major coaching changes a lot of them have happened. Now you certainly see some more happen around bowl season and all that. But to me, there's two arguments here, because you hear people saying, well, we got to move it up. It's too much of a headache with the coaches' stuff. It's too much of a headache for the coaches. I think we got to make sure that whatever the decision is for the athlete is looking out for their best interest. I don't think you need to make a decision to make sure that you can clear the schedule for a coach who's making $6-8 million a year. I think it's more important to make sure that you're getting players and prospects and their families comfortable enough and going to programs where you're putting that transfer portal maybe less in play. Because I think the problem with the transfer portal and what that has presented is it's kind of feeding off of the uncertainty that can come with recruiting. And, you know, when you're going to a school and you have these coaches, the coaches who recruited you aren't there almost immediately, and it happens often, then you start thinking transfer portal. And I'm just not sure what the answer is, because moving the signing day up, you're still going to set your stuff up for the coaching carousel to mix with it. I don't know if there's a great answer, I don't have one for you.
Right. See, that's why I look at college basketball. College basketball has seamlessly had an early signing date before the season. Mm-hmm. Basketball coaches leave at the end of the regular season. They do all the time. There's a late signing date as well. Some reason, I know it's a different time of the year, but somehow they seem to do it.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of coaches now who are saying, this isn't working. We've got enough of a sample size to establish that it's not working. Something needs to be changed. But I think right now, the one thing I do like is that you get through this early signing period, and there's an opportunity here for some players to rise up. You know, some of these three-star guys, all of a sudden they have big Power 5 programs chasing them. That's a pretty cool aspect of it, but overall, you're right. It has created some concerns from the coach's perspective, from the prospect's perspective. Say what you will, but the NCAA has a long list of things that need to be reconsidered and looked at with a magnifying glass.
Yeah, I think so. I think they have a long list out there. Is there, just on the national viewpoint, is there a name or two out there that we'll finally find out tomorrow? And what is some, and this, you know, it's not going to be dealing with Penn State. We've already outlined Penn State, but a couple of bigger names out there?
Yeah, there are certainly still some highly rated recruits out there. Christian Miller is a blue chip defensive lineman who's committing. He's got Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Miami, and Arkansas in that mix. I think Jordan James, the running back out of Tennessee, is one of the premier offensive players left on the board. He's looking at the Georgia, Oregon, Florida. Shamar Stewart is a name that Penn State was in on earlier, a five-star defensive lineman out of Florida. He's probably deciding between Texas A&M, which has a monster recruiting class, and staying home in Miami. Those are a few that pop up, but I know that there are, I think we've got at least four or five of our five-star players at 24/7 Sports going into this February, without the decision being made. So maybe it won't be the noisiest, splashiest day for Penn State, but across college football, it still matters. It just pales in comparison to what this first Wednesday in February looked like.
I know. It's completely different now. Based on whatever service it happens to be, it's looking like Penn State now has three five stars in the most recent class. What the 24/7 rankings, probably have them right around the neighborhood at the very least. What does that say about what they've been able to do with this class? And what do you think it now sets up for 23? Because I know there's some people internally that think 23 has the potential to be even better.
Right. I mean, it's early on, but right now, 2023 Penn State has the number four recruiting class in 24/7 Sports rankings with seven commitments, number six class in 2022 with most of those guys signed in December. Yeah. I think that, we do have three four-stars. It's the first time in 24/7 Sports rankings history that three future Nittany Lions end up in five-star status.
Yeah.
Deni Dennis Sutton jumped about 65 spots. I'll tell you what, I think what it does is it says a lot about the message and the conviction that, that James Franklin and his coaching staff have been able to not just get along, get across early, but to carry through some adversity, because the season did not end in any way, shape, or form like we thought it might when they were 5-0. And it's pretty easy to recruit when you're 5-0, and it's pretty easy to say, hey, hop on the bandwagon. Yeah. But when it starts looking less like a bandwagon and more of a fixer-upper, that's when you've got to have those tough conversations. And James Franklin's contract extension was a big win for this recruiting cycle in 2022. But to be able to get out of the other side and a 7-6 season, to sign the number 6 class, the number 1 running back, the number 1 quarterback, the kind of defensive lineman and Denai Dennis Sutton that Penn State really hasn't brought in on a consistent level and very few and far between, that speaks volumes. To me, it's though the middle of that class that you go through, a bunch of 4-stars. I mean, the meat of this class could be really special. And 9 guys on campus already. I think there's a lot to like about that group. And looking to 2023, they've got a heck of a start. I think on the offensive front, particularly, they have 3, maybe 4 offensive linemen. If you think Mega Barnwell ends up there, he's maybe a tight end, maybe a defensive end. But I really like the way that they've gone out and just despite the wins and losses, there's a lot of teams that can't survive that. And Penn State hasn't been able to shine on the football field, but they are shining on the recruiting trail right now.
Yeah, I think it's the key right now is to stack classes.
Yes, absolutely. Stack classes, stack position rooms. That's easier said than done. If you can follow up and bring in a high-quality quarterback or another high-quality running back, you don't want lapses in recruiting, because I don't care how many stars the guy's got next to his name on signing day. Those disappear when you step foot on campus.
I've noticed. All right. I see that in practice all the time. That's why I tell everybody all the time. I said, I don't look at highlights. I said, I want to see them when they're up against comparable talent. All right. Yep. Tyler, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Great job as always.
Thanks for having me. Be well.
All right. Tyler Donahue, 247 Sports, talking about recruiting. And Penn State did sign 2 more today. Beg Ione from Washington State, and Tyrese Mills from Lackawanna. So a safety that can play, a physical safety that has a lot of the traits that you saw in Marcus Allen when he was here, to give a comparison. Beg Ione is a guy that is 330 pounds already and carries his weight well and will get an opportunity, to get himself into the mix. Maybe earlier than some other offensive linemen might. Has that chance. Going to come in here and do it. But he's got that chance. He's already has that kind of build to begin with. In fact, I think Matt's entire family is 330 pounds. No, you're not even close.
Yeah, no.
I mean, you guys are probably barely Kevon Lee.
Okay. Yeah, sounds more about right.
It's 239. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The recruiting staff off the field have done a phenomenal job. One of our better classes. I think a big part of that is I do think it was a strong year in the state of Pennsylvania and a strong year in the region, which helps. And very pleased with the class overall. Obviously, we still got some work to do.
Yeah, no, and that's about the way you look at it. Pennsylvania goes in cycles right now. And 22 is a really good cycle. I think 23 is a really good cycle, too. And I know there's hope within the building that the 23 class actually has a chance to possibly be better than 22. And that goes back to the last item. It wasn't a question to Tyler. It was a statement by me. The ability now to stack classes. Very important. Next half hour, John Crispin, and I guess maybe a mystery guest. I don't know.
The mystery guest is here. We'll go to him right before we go to John.
Well, no need to bring out the heart paddles for me. I can keep on going. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.